You're healthy. Radio addiction starts now.
Power to the people!
The Laura Ingraham Show.
The White House press secretary is getting to a point where he's just kind of useless. You know, if he can't come out and answer the questions and they're just not going to do this on camera or audio, why are we even having these briefings or these gaggles in the first place? We're standing at the White House and they bring us into the briefing room here at the White House and they won't answer these questions on camera or let us record the audio.
They are ball babying over there at the White House briefing room. Why won't he spend more time with us? I just laugh. I see these people. I find it very amusing, especially coming off this great win in Georgia and in South Carolina. The Democrats thought they were going to pull off two big victories, and they couldn't. They couldn't bring the ball across the goal line. Joining us now, my friend Sean Spicer, White House press secretary, who made a hilarious appearance in the White House briefing room yesterday. And they got some chuckles from this very nice group of reporters who just has the best interest of the country. And Sean joins us now. Hey, Sean, good to talk to you.
Hey, Laura, thanks for having me.
So how do you answer the press vipers? That's my word, not yours. They're very upset. They're very, very upset. They want to spend more time, quality time with you, Sean. They don't want it's like a brief drive by with you. They want quality time to really have the relationship build on itself. So what's going on with the fewer briefings?
Well, first of all, it's not fewer briefings. And again, this is part of the problem, I think, for people who don't take the time to listen to your show or others that inform them entirely. They get this false impression. The reality is that we followed the same practice as past administrations, and more importantly, Laura, is Donald Trump is not it brought change to Washington. We've made that clear from the beginning that in a variety of ways that we're going to look to do things differently, to do things better, and this is one area that we've done that. We talked about it literally from the beginning. I was interviewed multiple times in December and January after I got this job. And I talked about how we would be bringing change there. We would be interacting with the press, despite some of the bias that a free press is part of a healthy democracy, but that we would be doing it in some ways that were different and better. We've allowed more access to a lot of folks who haven't had it. And the bottom line is I think that the mainstream media that's had a stranglehold on deciding what information the American people got to see in some ways are upset that more people, more voices are getting an opportunity to get involved in having their questions answered, to participate in our democracy. But the fact is that we are here, as I mentioned yesterday at the briefing. I get in just usually around 6 a.m. We leave fairly late at night. And so we have an entire press staff that is totally accessible during those hours and on the weekends to the press. I think there's a big difference. What you see a lot of the sniping is there's a lot of them that want to become YouTube stars and ask some snarky question that's been asked 8 times. And that's right. That's their right to do it. But our job is to make sure that we're providing updates and readouts of what the president's doing and the advances that he's making on his agenda.
Yeah, it becomes performance art for a lot of these
that's
reporters.
Right.
I mean, and I think some of them have good questions. It's fine. But it does become a bit of performance art. But my question is, when they do the smaller briefings, either from you or one of your associates or deputies, why can't that be recorded? That's another thing they're complaining about, that they can't
bring a recording.
Yeah,
I mean, I think it can be. I think that the issue was is that I think that we had several outlets violate the press guidance a couple times when we said, hey, look, you know, because the nice thing about turning the cameras off sometimes, and I find this is that when it is not performance art, as you call it, that you end up having a more substantive discussion about actual issues because they're not trying to get their clip. They're not trying to figure out how do I get on TV? How do I ask some snarky question? You can actually focus on the substance of the issues. What we found is that outlets were violating what we had said at the beginning, which is you can use the audio just not right away, and sort of broadcasting the briefing at the same time, just putting a picture up and running that over it, which was not the intent. And so on days that the president's speaking, we would generally do an off-camera gaggle. It's a tradition that's been held for a while. Again, today the president's traveling to Iowa to talk about agriculture, to talk about trade, and one of the folks will gaggle on the plane, which is they go back, they talk to the pool on the plane, give them an update. That's a tradition that's gone back forever. We continue to follow that. And so there's a bit of snarkiness now with the press because, again, I think a lot of them are more focused on getting their clip on air than they are of actually taking the time to understand an issue.
And, Sean, the president going to Iowa for this event today, Raymond Arroyo and I were chatting about this during the break. Is there any plan for him to go to places, like let's say Mitch McConnell's state or Paul Ryan's district in Wisconsin, where, you know, frankly, you put the pressure on both of them to really deliver results on the president's agenda and really gin up the support from the people to get this agenda launched and passed and into law and in a way that is just really powerful for the country? And, of course, I think it fulfills the will of the voters from the election cycle. I mean, how about trips to those areas?
Well, he's been to Wisconsin twice. He's been to Milwaukee, Waukesha, and a couple other places in Wisconsin.
Right, but not with the purpose of driving the message home from Ryan. Ryan, you know, we like you, but come on, let's get this done.
Well, I think, Laura, when he goes places, and I think it does send a signal, you're right, to the lawmakers in that state when they see the outpouring of support that the president has and people lining the streets sometimes for hours on end to get in there.
But why Iowa? That's what I'm saying is why does Iowa advance the agenda that seems deadlocked on health care and of course, tax cuts?
Well, I think for a couple reasons. This is we're about to send off Terry Branstad to China as the ambassador. He's done a fantastic job, and there's a couple reasons. So we can talk about trade there. Terry Branstad is going to be a huge advocate for U.S. exports and growing business in the China marketplace. And just recently, we were able to regain access for beef into China, and which is a huge issue in the Midwest. So if you think about it, we were the largest exporter of beef into China up until about 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking billions and billions of dollars of trade for farmers and ranchers, and I think that's huge. I think it's important, to your point about the agenda, we've got to start telling people we are fulfilling.
Do we still have Sean on? We try to get Sean back on the line. Seems like he's, I don't know what just happened, but we were just getting a really important point. We'll take a break, try to reconnect with him. But I think, or we don't take a break. We'll see if we can get him back on, and then because we don't want to take a break. You know what I find? It's a good point that Sean raised about the issue of breaking the China monopoly on beef. Here's the monopoly that they had.
We lost all paid TV.
And this was a huge win for the administration. It really was. I mean, we hadn't been able to export beef or beef products to China in decades.
Well, and these are the stories that aren't getting covered.
No.
No coverage of the advances that are really being done, the day-in, day-out lived realities that are moving
forward. I mentioned that point, by the way, in Texas, where cattle, beef is a big, big crop, obviously,
right.
People went crazy because they had been following the story.
Mm.
But again, telling that narrative, this is what it means in terms of real jobs. This is what it means in terms of real economic growth. And we want to do this on other commodities as well. Now, that we made progress on this one important commodity, but we want more progress on this similar type of trade issue. That's actually not a bad point. So if we drive that home, that's pretty smart. I don't think that's a bad way of thinking about Iowa. And let's just keep that up. By the way, we have important meetings with Secretary Tillerson and his Chinese counterparts today in Washington, D.C., along with General Mattis. So Mattis and Tillerson both meeting with the Chinese here in Washington, D.C. So that's a deal. We also have Eric Holder. Sounds like he might want to get into politics. Oh, I dream for that scenario. He's a hothead. Remember, he had a very hothead about issues of race and so forth. And I just think that didn't go over very well. He was always blaming criticism of President Obama on race, which had nothing to do with anything. We didn't like his ideas, but he always had to go back to the racial equation. I think that put people off. So we'll get into that topic as well. U.S. anxiety levels climbing faster than the rest of the world. That's, I mean, who knows if that's true or not. It's some global barometer of perception, some it's called the Unisys Security Index. You know, if that's the case, I bet social media has a lot to do with it. Right? I think social media does not is not helping people have less anxiety. I think it has more.
It ramps it up. And the daily news cycle, generated largely, forgive me, Laura, by cable news, it creates a cycle of fear and anger and, I think, division that just plays with your emotions. It makes people also think they're the center of the universe when, indeed, they're not. Many of these stories have no impact on their lives.
They're sold in one way, and it turns out later on there's maybe more to the story.
Right.
There's that Philando Castile video that came out for the dash cam video, and you still don't know really what happened there, but the jury acquitted the police officer of manslaughter. And it was ambiguous, even with the dash cam video.
Right.
It was ambiguous. All we saw before was the aftermath. In other words, the way the media pushes and pounds an issue, later we find out it's more complicated. And it's not clear. Hands up, don't shoot. Sounded good, but it turns out not to be true. But the jury, remember, hears everything. So they hear the full picture, which oftentimes cable and, you know, other outlets aren't able to do. We'll take a break. We hope to reconnect with Sean Spicer. That was a good conversation. We have a lot more to get to on your healthy radio addiction. And you'll have to deal with
pressure. The Laura Ingraham Show.